Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we consider this morning is written in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and includes verses 1 to 10 as follows. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." So far, the Holy Word. It's my pleasure and privilege, as always, to bring you an important gospel message from God's Word this morning. Dear fellow friends who need Jesus. A California couple who are about to celebrate their 70th wedding anniversary got a surprise recently. They were given a stack of love letters that they had written to each other many, many years ago during World War II. They'd been stolen from their home in 1968. And every time they opened one of these to read them, it brought tears to their eyes, all the memories of their early days together and apart during the war. Imagine their joy at being able to relive and remember that time in their life, full of the good and the bad. It's good to find stuff that you've lost. And in our text, Jesus uses two parables, one of a lost sheep and one of a lost coin, to describe God's lost and found. In each one of these parables, something or someone is lost, and in each parable, there's great joy when that something is recovered. I want you to remember that God's lost and found, though, isn't a box in heaven filled with old love letters or abandoned car keys or one sock. Jesus wants us to know about God's lost and found. It describes what every human being is like, spiritually speaking, whether you're young or old, or rich or poor, or girl or boy, or church member or non-church member. To really get the point of Jesus' parables today, ask yourselves these three questions. Number one, am I the lost? Am I among them? Number two, am I the found? And number three, am I the seeker? First you ask, am I the lost? In this 15th chapter of Luke, Jesus describes two valuable items that are lost, and at the end of our reading, it's a coin. That coin is inanimate, it's lifeless. It doesn't even know that it's lost. It just sits in the dirt, and life goes on. And this is really how some people are in their spiritual lives. They don't even know that they're lost in sin. Their names aren't written in the book of heaven, and they don't know any better. They just go through their lives, thinking that these things don't matter. That's the spiritual condition of people right in our own neighborhoods, perhaps over our backyard fence. People who won't be attending church this morning. This can also happen to members of a church. A person can begin to think that his spiritual life is made up of just three parts: pray, pay, and obey. It's a rather cynical view. And this business about admitting to sin Well, that's for someone else to hear. Once upon a time, a church member was complimenting his pastor on a sermon well delivered. He said, "Way to go, Pastor. Way to give it to those sinners this week." Well, you see how that man missed the point, I think. Jesus tells us also about a sheep that's lost in this parable today. But the sheep didn't plan to get lost. He just wandered off away from the rest of the flock, probably got distracted, and all of a sudden, this woolly creature couldn't find its way back to the flock. It was lost, and it was scared. Now, the sheep pictures the way a lot of people are in this life, too. They know that they're lost, lost in sin. Their guilty conscience reminds them of it constantly. And no amount of good deeds done can give them that forgiveness that's available freely from Jesus. Those sheep didn't plan on being lost, but lost they are, and they don't know the way back to God or how to have their names written in the book of heaven. When Jesus conducted his ministry, he reached out to all kinds of people. He wasn't selective. He reached out to those who readily listened to him and ate up all the words he said, and those who also didn't listen to him. He reached out to those in the church who thought they didn't need him as their savior from sin because they kept all the commandments. And he reached out to those outside the church who thought they could never have a savior. Jesus summed up his ministry when he said in Luke 19, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." When Jesus worked with the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they often failed to realize that they were spiritually lost. They didn't want to hear that truth, that their personal sins separated them from God. They thought they weren't lost, so they saw no need for Jesus. But when they did that, they rejected him. And they rejected also their place in heaven. Dear friends, this is where we need to double check our spiritual lives. Do we realize that the reason Jesus came to planet Earth was because we were lost? It doesn't really matter if we didn't know it, like that lost coin, an inanimate object, unaware of its surroundings. Or if we wandered away like that lost sheep in the parable, each of us were lost spiritually at some point in our lives. The prophet Isaiah said, "We all like sheep have gone astray, each of us to our own way." Lost. Do they still put pictures of missing children on milk cartons? I don't know if they still do that or not. Just think if we could have a milk cartons that would have the faces of people that were spiritually lost. Imagine you're pouring a glass of milk in the morning and there's a picture of a lost child or person. Or imagine your own face appearing with the note, "spiritually lost." That'd be something. That'd be a vivid reminder during those days where we try to live without the Lord Jesus and simply go our own way. Are you the lost? That brings us to question two. Am I found? Jesus tells about the joy of that shepherd who found his sheep and the joy of the woman who finds her coin. In both cases, he says, "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." When a rescue mission takes place, the rescuer should be equipped for his task. I'm sure you'd agree. We hear brave rescue stories of people who go after others and sometimes lose their own lives in the process. But when it comes to God's lost and found, we have one named Jesus who did the rescuing for us. And he did die also while rescuing us, but it wasn't the end. He died on the cross, but he didn't lose. He won by earning heaven for every one of us, by paying the penalty of our sin, which is death. His resurrection from the grave proved his victory for all to see. The empty tomb, the risen Christ. And now Jesus, our good shepherd, who lays down his life for us, his sheep, now he desperately looks for us. It's easy to play spiritual games with our Savior, and that's a real danger. When we ask the question, am I the found? We need to stop and reflect personally on what our Lord has said. He said, there's joy in heaven over sinners repenting. Some sinners love to stay lost. They think they can live their lives without the shepherd. But that's not the repentance Jesus is talking about here. Repentance is making a spiritual U-turn, changing from going the wrong way to the right way. And when our good shepherd calls us through his word, he wants us to see how dangerous life is without him. He wants us to turn from our personal sins and turn back to him. His rescue mission for us took him first to the manger in Bethlehem, then to the cross and to the empty tomb. But he also wants to be in our hearts individually. He wants to be turning our thinking around so that we know just how good it is to be a sheep in his flock, to be a coin in his purse, to be a child at home, a child safe at home with his or her Heavenly Father. Maybe we should ask ourselves this question. Have I brought joy to the angels in heaven lately? Yes, Christians, we struggle with sin. And as Christians, as both sinner and saint, we have a daily need to repent and to turn to the cross of Jesus and to say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, for Jesus' sake. And because of his undeserved, amazing grace, we can truly sing, I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. We could stop here in our examination of the parables, but if we did, we'd miss something important that came at the beginning of our text. All of these parables started because people were critical of Jesus' willingness to meet and eat and communicate with sinners. Remember what it said? The Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told the parable. These men had no love for other people. They made no effort to reach out to them. They lost God's attitude toward sinners. And God wants us to find it. That's what we mean in asking the final question, am I also the seeker? We can see what entire communities will do when children are lost. They print posters and put them up and they gather together and comb through the woods. Organize searches, donate to reward funds. People will walk through swamps shoulder to shoulder to find a missing child. But I'll ask you, who will take up the search for lost souls? Is that someone else's responsibility? Or do we delegate it to a few men that our synod sends overseas? Do we really care? Maybe we're concerned that some of those lost souls wouldn't fit in very well here in our church. Are they the wrong kind of sinners? Are they so much worse than we? You see, these parables weren't told to people who are outside the church. They were told to the people inside the church. Jesus wanted his people to know that God doesn't love us for who we are, good people. He loves us in spite of our sin. Jesus loves every sinner. The sinner on the street corner, and the sinners that sometimes have self-righteous attitudes. Sinners like you and me. You see, our Savior's Lutheran is not a country club for sinners. It's a hospital for saints. As you reflect on that amazing grace that found us, may we collectively and individually take up that search for lost souls. May we love others the same way that God has loved us. And may we, shoulder to shoulder, walk through streets and neighborhoods and countryside to reach out not only to missing children, but to missing souls whom Jesus died for. May we be the seekers. And the next time you misplace something, your keys or your sunglasses or your checkbook, and find it again, may your heart call to mind God's lost and found. And may we be part of the reason the angels in heaven have so much joy. Amen. The same peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.